I'll look at my calendar and call you this afternoon.
Okay, that works great, sir.
Mayor Dillon.
Okay.
Hey, Sherman. How are you?
Nice to see you.
Okay. Lovett, where are you?
I am in Tennessee.
Holy cow.
Sitting in my office. We got somebody else joining us here.
Yeah, I'm Commissioner Milburn.
Hi. Lovett, Mayor Dillon on the phone.
So, Commissioner Milburn, you're not off gallivanting somewhere then, huh?
No, I don't gallivant.
Oh, I can hear the swish of that fishing rod as you
knock on your speakerphone.
That's what he's wishing.
Well,
I wish.
Did you steal Andrew's razor?
Oh, good. You sporting it, Andrew?
Well, I was, I am. I was out of town for a week because I just celebrated my 20th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
Congrats. Thank you. Thank you very much. Nice. And so, you know, no better time than being out of town for a week to let it grow in, right?
He's got to
say your wife is a saint.
Yes, she is.
Well, she's a saint, but she's telling me to keep away from her because I'm so itchy now. So if I want to make it to 21, I might have to find that razor again.
I was just
steal it back.
Know that there's a little salt and the pepper when it comes to Andrew's beard.
I'm seasoned.
Yes,
right.
Uh-huh. He does have some seasoning. All right, let's get going. Public comment. There's no public here for you two, so we'll just dive into first the audit. So we have Tim here, or did you want to?
Well, the only thing I might suggest is we have a new member, Councilman John Barber from Morgan County. And so Logan Wild, who, as everybody knows Logan, ran for and is running for and is very likely to be elected to the state legislature. And given his maybe you could explain this if I say anything wrong here, but given his his duties there, he is stepping back on some of his other engagements, including WFRC, and we're just really appreciative that John is here representing Morgan County. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd say if we could just do introductions also so that...
Oh, that's a good idea of everybody who's here. So, it's Michael, I'm here. So, Councilman.
John Barber from Morgan County.
It's Andrew Gruber, the WFRC.
Mike Caldwell, Ogden City.
Wayne Bennion, WFRC staff.
And Tim Race, the auditor.
John Petroff, Davis County. We didn't like Logan anyway.
I'll tell you that.
Brent Marshall, Tulloch County.
You're going to like him a lot less in the legislature.
Well, that's why I didn't run again. I found out he was going to get elected, so I thought I'd better get out.
Yeah.
And Lovett, Skyping.
Lovett on the phone, yes.
Andrea, you can come sit over here.
This is okay.
You sure?
Uh-huh.
Okay. But introduce yourself, please.
I'm Andrea Pearson, WFRC staff.
Okay, thanks.
Very good.
Thanks,
Andrew.
Mayor Dolan's on the phone.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mayor. Yeah, on the phone.
Mayor Dolan and Commissioner Milburn.
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, Commissioner Milburn.
Okay, now we'll get going. So, Tim, talk to us about the audit.
Okay, this comes around every year. We've got the audit complete for the Wasatch Front Regional Council. We did several things in the audit. We looked through the things that we use it through, plus maybe a few other things. We extend a little bit sometimes. Our main objective of the audit is to ensure that the financial statements are not material misstated, that they're presented within the material limits fairly stated. During that, we look at the county estimates, and one of the big estimates you have now is probably something you didn't have before, is a pension estimate, and that changes dramatically. If you'll look at it, I'll show it to you when we go through here, that's almost a $300,000 change. It's based on a lot of assumptions like life expectancy.
Tim, excuse me for one moment. Mayor Cronin, is that you?
It is. I am so sorry to interrupt.
Mayor Cronin from Perry and Box Elder County, representing Box Elder County.
Very good, Mayor. The rest of the committee is here. Just so you know, We have Mayor Dolan, Commissioner Milburn, and then Lovett on the phone with you, and then we introduced ourselves here. You know, we can go back around if you would like, but Tim Reese, our auditor, is talking to us about the audit, just to bring you up to speed.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. We didn't have any difficulties performing the audit. The staff was very helpful. And you have a very knowledgeable person in Lovett, so she's very helpful to help us through there. A lot of technical issues you have to deal with, and it's nice to have somebody that you can talk to that understands those issues. We didn't have, there's no misstatements that haven't been corrected. We didn't have any disagreements with management. And at the end, we asked for management representation. They usually sign a letter for us. We're still looking for that, Lovett.
I'm not sure if I've got it. I'll find it.
Okay, anyway, that's fine when you get it to us. The only one thing we found was part of a state compliance thing is the company's supposed to post their minutes on the state website 3 days after the minutes are approved, and they got them on there, but they're a little late getting them on there. They didn't get within a 3-day period. But we checked at the end of field work, they're on there now. Okay. The minutes are posted. So. Any questions there?
I just want to make a comment about that particular item, and you'll see, as Tim noted, on page 44 of the audit, it summarizes what he just went through, and then this finding on state compliance is identified at the bottom of page 44. So our and we appreciate the fact that Tim is going through the financials, but also looking at compliance with applicable state and federal law and rules and regulations. We are required to post the minutes of our meetings not just on our website, but also on the state's website. And we had a personnel change. You all remember Pam and Renee, our long-standing staff assistants, both retired at the same time. And for the most part, our transition was remarkably smooth with Andrea and Amber and Katie. But this we had a slight hiccup in getting the minutes posted to the state website on time. We've actually taken advantage of that to refresh our look at how we're doing on Open Meetings Act. And Andrea, you've gone to trainings on Open Meetings Act and also on Grandma on records management. So essentially what we did is we did an internal review of all of our policies for compliance on open meetings and records to make sure that we're 100% good. And as Tim noted, we immediately corrected that, and we're, you know, sailing forward appropriately.
Okay, good.
Okay, just a few little comments. We looked and you were within the budgets that you established. We always like to look at that for state compliance, and you were within the budgets. You never overspent the budget anywhere. We also look at various other little state compliance issues, like budgetary compliance and transparency and retirement system, treasury bonds, and we didn't find any problems with any of those state compliance issues. Congratulate Lovett. Does a great job with those.
Thank you.
Good job.
Anyway, on page 4, you look at this, something you may say, why is it up so much?
Yeah.
I'll just explain a couple of things on page 4 there. You notice under 2016 that our cash is quite a bit higher than it is in 2015. But you also look at current liabilities, and it's quite a bit higher than it was in 2015. That's because we got money for a program that went into cash, but we haven't spent it yet. So those two figures kind of offset each other.
Is that the million for the court?
That's the Mountain Court Phase 2.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's why that's so much different. You have noticed that your fund balance has improved. It went to $149,000 from $53,000, and that's a positive change for you. And that's a good thing to have. But your fund balance is also within the legal limits till we check that. You're okay there.
Just with Mountain, with regard to Mountain Accord, we can chat about that now if you want. We had planned when we get to the actual budget to spend just a minute on that as well.
Okay.
As an update on that.
Okay.
Right.
Any other questions for us as auditors?
So you said that the fund balance was within legal limits. What is it in a percent? Do you know?
What it is, it's usually 1 year worth of revenue, and.
Our minimum's usually 5%, Mayor.
So
right, that's what I thought it was, but I didn't know if that was where we were at in a percent.
You know, the range you're in, and you're in the range. It's about 1 year's worth of revenue and about a minimum of 5%, and you're right within where you need to be.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Tim from the committee? Mayor, Commissioner.
No questions, but just a thank you to Lovett for all she does. She does a great job.
She does.
Yep.
Thank you.
I have no questions.
Okay. Thanks
for the motion, Trevor.
If everybody's ready.
So this is a question. Lovett and I have talked about this. We think, is it technically the audit actually doesn't need to be voted on, but we have had a practice of doing so. You have had a practice of doing so.
In here?
I'm just saying, yeah, here and then at the council meeting. So this would go to the council meeting.
If the policy,
uh-huh.
If we have a policy that says the budget committee can accept
yes.
the audit,
yes.
then yes, we could accept it and then just give the report at the council meeting, or mm-hmm. are you saying it doesn't even need to go to the council meeting?
Why don't you say what you want to say here?
All right. So by voting to accept the audit, that implies that you would have the option to not accept it, and the audit is what it is. Okay, it's not like we can reject it. It's a report on our finances and our internal controls and what have you. So the question is, in the past they've always kind of said, well, some years, not all years, they said let's vote to accept the audit. And we'll do it either way you want to, but the fact of the matter is, there's not really another option. The audit is what it is.
No, so I agree, Lovett. And what I would say, for me, saying we accept the audit means we've sat down, we've gone through with the outside audit firm, they've walked us through since they're independent, and we acknowledge the fact that they've come through, they've sat down with us, explained the numbers, and that we're comfortable as the governing body of the entity saying, yes, we've talked with them, and we understand the numbers that you've given us. If we need to make any corrections, as the governing body, then we will. But the only way that the public knows that we've acknowledged that we've sat down is by us accepting. And that's really what it's saying is we've sat down with Tim, Tim's expressed everything. If Tim had concerns, we as the governing body would say, okay, we understand those concerns, let us go fix those concerns. To the public, the only way you can demonstrate that, at least in my opinion, is one of the bodies have to say we accept it, and we've kind of had the exchange with Tim.
So then that suggests that we would have, that our approach would be that the budget committee would vote to accept, as you were just about to do. And then I think similarly, the budget committee would present the audit with Tim's presence and answering questions as may be wanted, desired. Then the whole council would also similarly vote to accept the audit next at the council meeting.
Now, there is an option, even I agree with Lovett, there is an option that if we were to put in policy for the council to say that the budget committee could accept, and then we just let the rest of the council know that we as a committee have sat down and talked with Tim. There is that option as well.
That's what most of the cities have gone to.
Right.
The council meetings you have are so strained. I don't know if you ever said there's so much business and the time frame, and I get up there and say anybody make questions, no one sits down, and it's just Well, you're in a smaller meeting.
They look to us to kind of vet all the issues and to walk through it with you.
They ask questions and get a lot more done. But that's been the trend lately, is that just the budget committee will just say, we accepted it, and just tell the council to accept the audit.
So you're meaning that it's just presented as an informational item to the council?
Yeah.
Well, I think you ought to also give them the opportunity to...
Ask whether
it was approved and that our books are in order, or the items that we got findings on, that those findings have been corrected either through personnel or through policy procedures, change of people, however it's done administratively, those policies or those findings have been corrected. And I don't see as to where it's that big of a deal to throw it out in front of the body. I understand there's a time constraint. You can say that the budget committee has reviewed all the items and has spent numerous hours with the auditor going through those, and that the books are in order, and we're just presenting them as a information item to the body and ask for your acceptance of the budgetary's committee's findings.
Yeah. I mean, I would just as soon, we will of course defer to you all what you want to do. I would just as soon have the council vote to accept in the same way that you're suggesting, Councilman Jensen, that it's an indication that they've actually received it and had the opportunity to review it and heard the recommendation from the budget committee.
That's been our practice.
All right, can we just stay with that then?
Sure.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the audit with the findings that have been presented to us with those corrections.
Second. Will you make a slight adjustment and just say we accept and approve?
Oh, okay. We accept.
Okay.
For a second.
Okay. Any discussions? You three on the phone good with that?
Yes, we are.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay.
Aye.
So that passes. Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, thanks.
You're more than welcome to stay if you would so desire.
I know I would leave if I were you.
We're going to get into the exciting stuff and don't have numbers.
Just thank all your people, because they were very cooperative during the audit. And we feel comfortable with the people we got here.
Great.
That's great. Thank you very much, Tim.
Thanks, Tim. We'll see you at the meeting. All right, we'll go to item B, which is to have Lovett walk through the amendments for the budget. So, Lovett.
Okay. What you see before you is as far as amending the FY17 budget. Typically, every year at this time, we've closed out last year's books. We know what projects were in process and how much is left to be spent in this current year. And so we amend our budget to include those carry forward items. Most of what you're seeing here is exactly that. There were two new funding sources that have come up. One of them comes from the City of Harriman for the Ochre Connection Study. They've provided $200,000 for us to use to hire a consultant and some staff support to study the developing a paved connection between the Tooele and the Salt Lake Valleys. Mm-hmm. The other thing we received,
That's a feasibility study.
Feasibility study, sorry.
Okay.
And the other new funding source we received was from the University of Utah Kempsey Gardner Policy Institute. They asked for our assistance in developing some collaborative data, demographic data, to be used when evaluating certain courses of action in the planning process. There are footnotes that kind of describe where the sources of funds come from and how they're going to be used. I guess the majority of the budget amendment, of course, is going to go for contractual expenses. Those are the types of things that carry over from one year to another. Anything you want to add, Andrew?
I would just thanks, Lovett. I just would suggest if you turn to the budget table that's labeled expenditure by function. So it says draft amended WFRC FY17 budget, and then it says expenditure by function. you can see here that the line item where the principal changes are happening is in this line item that Lovett said contractual. So the first column is showing the FY16 actual spending. Then the FY17 current budget. So the actual for 16 was 2.1 million. The FY17 budget 2.2 million, and then the budget is proposed going up by 38% to, you know, 3.3062. And that reflects, as Lovett said, another 200,000 from Harriman, another 49,000 from the Gardner Policy Institute, and then the remainder of that is the carryover of projects.
So about 560-ish.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So actually, the 2016 budget for contractual, it's not shown on this table, but it was 2.6, 2.7 million. And though, as Lovett said, and as you all remember, we have projects that carry over from year to year. We budget for all of them in 1 year, and then they carry over, and the spending that we didn't do in 1 year, in this case in 16, we move then over to 17 as the work continues. So that growth from 2.2 to about 3, about, you know, 800 or so thousand, represents the two new funding sources, and then the carryover of contractual money from 16 into 17 for projects that are ongoing. Okay.
Okay, Lovett, anything else?
That's all I have to mention on the budget amendments, unless you have questions about anything in particular.
No, those are straightforward.
Yeah, there's nothing unusual in this budget.
Just to clarify, the budget is being amended, and that's the principal thing. There's also a small work program amendment that needs action for the Ochre Connection feasibility study, which is new.
Actually, I was just going to ask if we were going to need to change anything on the work program. Mm-hmm. So is that the only thing?
That's the only thing for the work program.
Okay.
So basically, there is one new paragraph inserted. It's the last page of the work program that describes that Ochre Connection study.
Okay.
So just as a reminder, folks, the way that we do this is we have a budget and we have a work program. The work program describes in significant detail all of the things that we're doing. The portion of the work program that's in your packet, it's not the entire work program, it's the section of the work program that is proposed to be amended to add this Ochre Connection. So what you have in front of you is the draft amended budget and the section of the work program that corresponds to the budget amendment.
Okay. Lovett, you're good. Wayne, you're good. Okay. Now, we wanted to bring up Andrew.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Just may I? I apologize,
yep.
Mr. Chairman. So the only other thing, I said I was going to mention this earlier, Mountain Accord.
Okay, yes.
Okay. So when you look at the contractual line item, FY17, $3 million as modified, about 1.3 million of that is from the Mountain Accord project.
So 1.3?
About 1.3 of that 3062,
okay,
is Mountain Accord. Again, without going into any great detail, Mountain Accord is this collaborative effort with many public and private and community stakeholders to evaluate the and plan for the future of the Central Wasatch Mountains. And during 2016, we, WFRC, were asked to hold two of the key contracts for the work that's happening there. Okay, one of them was $1 million for the program director, and another is $1 million for transportation analysis and options for connecting the valley to the Cottonwood Canyons and then studying transportation in the canyons. We've been doing that work, overseeing that work in collaboration with UDOT, UTA, and many other partners. There is in process now the establishment of what's called the Central Wasatch Commission. Mayor Dolan has been very involved in this, so Mayor, please feel free to jump in at any point if you'd like. But once that entity is established as an interlocal agency, the expectation is that we will transfer to the Central Wasatch Commission, assign these two contracts that we hold. And that's part of the reason for establishing this entity, is that so this mountain court thing can go forward in an official and more organized way. Once, from a budget perspective, once we transfer those contracts over, we will also assign the funding that's associated. So we have 1281 in our budget right now for 17. You know, we are continuing to work on those projects, but we'll assign them over. So at some point, some portion of that money, once the contracts are assigned, we will send over there. So then you'll have a significant, essentially, a drop down in the FY17 contractual. All right. Now, whether we go back and amend the budget to reflect that, or we just sort of clean that at the end of the year, we can determine later. But I just wanted to raise that so that you can anticipate that happening, and it's part of what's going on in the in that contractual lineup.
Is phase two primarily those two contracts? Somebody mentioned phase two of the Mountain Accord.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
that will be.
For us, yes. Phase one of Mountain Accord essentially led up to and culminated in the signing of the accord itself, which is a broad statement of principles around recreation and conservation and economy and transportation. And now phase two is moving forward on implementing those principles. So for us, phase two is principally around the transportation aspect of the Mountain Accord. There are other things that are happening also, like for example, there's a federal land bill that has been introduced. We, WFRC, aren't working on that so much, but there are other activities that are happening under the Mountain Accord umbrella. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. So that doesn't have any impact on the budget amendment that's before you, but it's a contextual thing that I thought it was worth noting here.
Yep. Mayor Dolan, anything?
No, you covered it well. You guys got it.
Okay. All right. Anything else before we get into that?
No, nothing, and actually nothing that impacts this budget. Yeah.
So one thing that we wanted to toss out, at least for conversation, is remember how last year we were looking long-term at funding sources and the viability of what we're going to do budget-wise moving forward? So we went to the legislature, we took some money out of the STP, brought it in, we doubled the amounts from the counties. So one of the things going forward that we wanted just to bring up is the idea that instead of going like typically most counties do, where we'll raise taxes, we'll live off that for 5 to 8 years, and then you have to do another big one. What if we were to look at doing an increase to the CPI or to the budget based on the CPI every year going forward, the local assessment? So it would go to the counties. Now the cities would pay in through the county general funds, but just throwing that out there to the commissioners, what if we were to look at doing a CPI adjustment every year to help long-term with the budget?
What kind of percentage are you...
Well, every year it would change. So back like in 9, we would probably have had close to a zero increase. This last year...
It was 1%.
So I know in my budget I would rather eat a small amount every year going forward than me having to kick another $70,000 in on a given year, because you know you got to go re-explain to, at least for me, the rest of my council why I need this, what's going on. I would rather just be able to go and have Ben put in the budget. It'd be a lot easier for me to put $5,000 or $7,000 in the budget on a yearly basis going forward than me having to go ask for $70,000. Not that that's going to be the number, but it's a lot easier for me to go ask for a smaller amount. So
yeah, this is Commissioner Milburn. I don't mind the idea of addressing it on a more regular basis.
Now again, this doesn't mean we have to do it right now. This is something that we just want to talk about.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm wondering if there's maybe some other variations that we could talk about rather than a yearly basis. Maybe you take it on a every couple of years and do some sort of rolling average or something of that nature.
Well, yeah, let's have the conversation on what everybody's comfortable with.
Just for context, if anybody wants, in your budget packet, the last table before the footnotes is a table that's called that says local contributions, and that actually shows the annual contributions that are coming in from each of the counties. So, you know, Box Elder and Morgan and Tooele each put in $12,533. Davis and Weber each put in $66,842, and then Salt Lake $133,682, which is basically tied to population and the number, actually directly tied to the number of members on the council. Okay? So just for context in this conversation here.
Well, and when we took this increase, it was a substantial increase, especially to Morgan, Box Elder, and Tooele counties, because if I remember right, we was like $7,000-$8,000 a year.
Yeah, percentage-wise, the big increases happened to the three big counties.
Right, I agree.
Yeah,
but it wasn't any easier for me to sell it to the commissioners of Tooele County.
It's the widow's mite, I get it.
Yeah, what we did was the Morgan, Salt Lake, Weber, and Davis doubled their contributions. Morgan, Tooele, and Box Elder increased by 50%. Their contributions, and the state doubled its contribution, so that had been the logic. Yeah.
So I know from
this is Mayor Cronin.
Oh, Mayor, go ahead.
I was just going to say, although I agree with the idea, you know, sometimes it's easier to do a little bit each year. The city's budgets don't increase each year, and so it would be carving out a bigger chunk of the city's budget comparison-wise unless they went out and did a increase in property tax. So I am a little bit more prone to say let's talk about it, but we have to talk about it realizing that even if we do a CPI each year, it's going to carve out more of the city's budget than they are going to be respectively bringing in to cover it.
Well, Mayor, I know to my county cohort's chagrin, the cities aren't going to be asked to pay anymore.
Box Elder does it differently.
Oh, that's right. It is the city.
So in every county other than Box Elder,
it would be the
counties. The counties that do the contributions.
Mayor, I apologize.
But the cities
County
used to do it as well. That just recently.
Oh, really?
Changed.
Oh, that was before my time.
Yes. Huh. We got billed by the county.
Oh, did you? Oh, okay. Well, so
it did stay, but I didn't realize the county billed you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But they don't anymore.
Yeah. Now, get what county I'm from. We got a 25% tax increase this year.
Yeah.
My view on this is, and we just went through the first truth in taxation we've had in 31 years, and you can't believe how many people came in and asked us to do it on a more regular basis and tie it to something tangible like the CPI, something that you can go back and look at and say, look, we're not asking for more. We're not going to get you into crisis mode or anything else. That big bump every 5 to 8 years is more crisis management. And our sewer district just had a big, long debate about, do we do this every 5 or 8 years, or do we just do what's reasonable, tie it to something tangible like the CPI? That gives us and the cities, you know, the ability to budget and forecast longer term, than instead of wondering when that bump's going to come and whether we're going to be able to cover it or whether it's going to, you know, really put us in a bit of a tailspin. I'd much rather know that as we do our 5-year financial modeling, we can kind of usually, we guessed with our sewer district, it's going to be 1.5 to 2% has been our running average. So we kind of bake in a conservative number and know that that's coming. And it makes us much more able to forecast where that's going rather than the 5 to 8 year boom or bust and kind of the crisis at the moment, because that's, we deal with that a lot. So I'm a huge fan of it being attached in smaller increments to this, something tangible like the CPI, and we've had a lot more stability in our conversations with our councils and the commissioners saying, look, this is reasonable, it's tangible, it's something you all get to deal with on a daily basis, it's something we can forecast, and so I personally am a big fan of that.
I know this is Michael again, but most water districts do a CPI where they will just move it every year. And then for Salt Lake County, as I look at the numbers, it would have been a lot easier for me to put $1,300 in my budget every year over a period of time instead of having to go back in my budget and put $65,000 like this last year I had to do. So I would rather put $1,300 in my budget every year, because I'm pretty sure I can get Ben to put it in the budget every year versus having to go ask and beg from my council to get $65,000. So this is all, again, just us as the budget committee flushing this out and talking about it. What I would hope is that we continue to think about it as a group, and then next time we get together, maybe make a recommendation. That way Andrew and Lovett know what to do for the budget as we approach next year's.
So the way, thank you. Again, just for context, if the numbers that we're talking about here, if we based it on CPI, the CPI from July 1 of 2015 through June 30 of 2016 was 1%, literally 1.005 something, so 1%. So what that would translate to, I mean, if you look, you know, Box Elder at 12,533, well, and Morgan and Tooele, it's another $125.
Right.
For Davis and Weber, it would be another $668, and for Salt Lake, another $1,337. Okay, so the numbers are relatively small. Now, the CPI at 1% is a relatively small number, and there's going to be variability there. So, as Commissioner Milburn said, you know, perhaps you tie, if you wanted to do this, it would be tied to a three-year rolling average, just to, you know, flatten it out. I mean, that's a possibility.
Well, I think there's something else to consider here, and that is that CPI isn't the only influence on your budget.
Mm-hmm.
Different, you know, for us, I'll give you a good example. For us, one of our biggest struggles out there is getting competent IT help right now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody and their brother, if you're an IT guy, if you can spell IT, you can make a lot of money. And so even though the CPI might not have gone up, it doesn't mean that your need hasn't gone up. So I think that maybe the CPI on an annual basis is an issue, but if you looked at it maybe on a 3-year to a 5-year deal,
mm-hmm.
then you could also incorporate into that the other problems that come along and say, okay, the CPI went up 3%, but we're going to need another 2 to deal with everything else. So rather than every year doing it like that, we're going to need 5% here in 3 years instead of I don't have any. I've debated this ever since I was mayor as well. Do you stay with the certified rate, or do you, you know, how do you do it? We met with Howard Stevenson this past week, explaining to him the tax increase that we're taking, and the one thing that, I mean, he was very, very good about all of it. He understood the fact that inflation just eats your budget, and you at some point in time you. No matter how good you're doing, you've got to increase. But his point of view was pretty adamant about not going every year. His was to go on a 5-year, kind of like a 5-year thing, because I think their biggest thing is that if you do it every year, which might, you know, on the other hand, is not so bad, is that pretty soon you're appearing that you're crying wolf and nobody will show up. Which to me is not such a bad thing that people don't show up for the hearings, because when they come, it's the same people that come to every hearing. I mean,
yeah,
you could have 300,000 people and the same 100 guys are going to come either way. So that's just a whole bunch of rambling thought. But
if he takes the ability from us to do that on a yearly basis, that's one story. But I do think it, and then maybe it's CPI plus 0.25 to cover some of those incidentals, just a little touch over. But I really do think it helps me as a city forecast and budget, knowing that that's going to be tied to a pretty specific number we can work around.
Yeah. Commissioner, did you have Is that Brett?
Yeah, this is Commissioner Milburn. Maybe just a tad bit of clarification of the way I understood Senator Stevenson's concern on going yearly. It's I think the point was is crying wolf that do you really need the increase, or are you just taking it because it happens to be an increase in the CPI? And you know, I don't think there might be instances that your costs really don't increase, but the CPI has gone up.
He forgets trying to fund a jail, trying to fund all of human services because they won't vote for Healthy Utah.
Yeah, I understand completely there. So
just to give you some context on that, I don't know if you guys knew, but a few years ago, they actually called Jordan Valley Water Conservancy District in and asked them why they raise taxes every year. And the chair of their board actually said in the meeting, because I was there, he actually said, because we can. And we wanted to keep our fund balance as high as we can. And that did not go over well with the legislature.
Really? Really?
I don't understand why.
Yeah.
Well,
yep.
Just a few comments. One is, you all are in a different situation. You are, you know, doing truth in taxation and tax increases, and you know, we have the luxury of not having to deal with things that you do in that way. But with that understanding, it may be that the way that we would approach this is that we would just say, okay, this year's dues are the following. So Davis County, you know, the dues for the upcoming year, you know, are instead of 66,842, they're, you know, whatever, 68 something, you know, so it goes up $668. Yeah, this year's dues.
And see, I don't have any. The TNT thing is the real heartburn on the other way. You know, so with doing it every year, because you go through so much to do the TNT, it costs you money. You know, I mean,
yeah,
just to do it. So I don't have any problem at all with you going every year.
Yeah. What I'm trying.
Actually, like Mike's idea that you know, you got the CPI, you just have a justification for why you need to go up.
Right.
And if it gets too high, then you're going to get pushback. But
yeah, I mean, I would hesitate.
Yeah. But hey,
go ahead.
I apologize for interrupting. I've got to step off here, but I like Commissioner Petroff. You know, I don't have a problem in looking at it and adjusting it on a more regular basis. It probably just needs to be flushed out a little bit. Okay, is it every year or is it a rolling average? And also to take into consideration the things that maybe not be covered by CPI. So I think it's worthy of conversation. I'm all for continuing the discussion. So
okay, well, let's all think about it, and then the next time we get together, we'll bring it back up and see what new ideas, what you guys have thought about, if you've talked to other commissioners or council members or whatever, what the ideas would be. And then Andrew would love it if you guys would take back the feedback and
sure
be creative as well. Andrew, okay. Any final
comments? I'm gonna step off, but thank you everybody. Good to chat with you. And Jensen, give me a holler sometime.
I will, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it, Commissioner.
Bye.
Andrew, anything else?
The only thing on this topic is that if we were going to do something that would impact the counties, you will know, obviously, or you're in your budget process now. So if you were going to build in, you know, if Salt Lake County was going to do this CPI, then it would need to be incorporated in your FY, in your calendar 17 budget that starts in January. And so if we wanted to do something for that cycle, we would need to decide relatively soon. Typically what happens is we tell the county, here's the amount, and then that gets built into the budget. So if we were going to say, well, the amount is $133,000 plus 1%, we would just need to tell you or them that at some point relatively soon. Now, just to be clear, we don't have to do that soon. We could talk about this, and 6 months from now we could come up with a plan, but it would then be implemented. I would not want to go mid-year and to sell it to anybody and say, hey, we thought it was going to be $66,842 for Davis County, but it's actually $668 more than that. We would do it in the following year, which is okay. But if we want to do something that would happen over the course of the next year, we would need to make that decision relatively soon.
I'll just tell you, based on the discussion we've had, this needs to be probably an 18 issue.
Okay.
If you're going to bill that fast, based on what I'm hearing, it might be a little difficult to go back to your fellow commissioners and council members and say, hey, even though it's like $120 or $660, it's the idea that they have to get used to that it's going to be every year the change.
Okay.
And it could fluctuate.
Yeah.
And then the rolling average, I'm okay with. Again, since we're just bringing it up, sorry, Andrew, I just think for this year,
I think the rolling average really stabilizes it. You know, if you say the last 2 years, this is what our increases have been, you know, 1.3 last year, 1.5 this year, this is what we anticipate next year. Then,
yeah.
And then the following year, you do it again. You've got the last 2 years. We do a lot of stuff that way with the rolling average because it takes all the highs and lows out of it. And
we use a 3-year average as well, just because it does takes the highs and lows out.
But that doesn't mean you can't use last year's your first phase, and next year, and then so in 2018.
Yeah.
So, because we're all just, you know, all of us on calendar year, we're right at the end of our budget cycle right now. We're just finalizing all of our budgets.
Right.
So this time next year, or in July of next year, if you were to say, it looks like for the budgets for you guys, we're going to need a 1.3% or increase, then we can plug that into the budget and we're ready to go.
Okay, that sounds great. So, and we're 100% comfortable with that.
And the other reason I would hate to do it is not having one of the commissioners from Weber County here. I don't want to throw something at them.
We wouldn't have to tell them. We could just.
Well, that's true to them. We could send them all on this.
Let's just put it all on them and just say that's what's
happening. No, I'm not so bad.
The mayor agreed to it.
Give us a minute.
I'm not surprised.
And then I just put it on that as a going away party.
We will volunteer to put together a short memo that just sort of says, here's the concept and here's what we talked about, and then use that as a basis for ongoing conversation.
Yep, that would be awesome.
So, we'll do that.
To be clear, is there going to be any increase in the budgeting process for the counties for this year?
No.
Okay.
No. No increase.
All right.
Yeah. And the budget that is before you, the budget amendments that are presented to you, presume no increase. So this was just an idea to start a discussion, which is what we've done. And as staff, we're totally comfortable with that. So no change. Okay? All right.
Okay. Anything else that you have?
Nope.
Anybody on the phone have anything else they want to bring up?
No, thank you.
No.
Okay, well then I guess we're done and we'll see everybody.
Oh, we need a vote on that.
Oh,
yeah.
Is everybody good with the recommendations for the budget adjustments?
Yeah. Yes, I was going to say, do we need an action on that? Wasn't it noted as an action?
Yes. So for the budget committee.
So,
yes.
If you need a motion, I would motion that we accept the FY17 budget and work program amendments as presented.
Very good. Thank you, Mayor. Is there a second?
Second.
Commissioner Petroff with the second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. That motion carries.
Mayor Kroon, don't hang up when everybody else does it. I wanted to talk to you, and I've tried numerous times, but your phone won't take a message.
Do you have a cell phone I can call you on?
I do. I do. 435.
Okay.
840-3714.
Okay, I'll call you right after we hang up here. Is that a good time?
That'll work.
Okay, or do you want me to call you on your way back? So you have
As soon as we end, go ahead and call me.
Okay, I will do. Thanks, Mayor.
Okay.
Is there a date that's off on this? The 26th is a Wednesday.
Of 2017?
Oh, this is 17.
Yeah, so I just handed out this is a tentative calendar for 2017 meetings. And I just wanted to share, we're actually, every committee that we have, we're handing this out just to get a little bit of feedback. The budget committee, we've got tentatively scheduled 5 meetings for the year. The first one is January 12th, and those basically, I love it, they tie to the budget calendar, that we have a budget committee meeting several weeks before action in the council.
For a council meeting, yeah. Typically, we're not going to have a meeting in January or August, but if we needed to, for some reason, those would give us the time we need to make the proper notices and what have you for council meetings. So they're exactly 2 weeks before council meeting is how those are scheduled.
Okay.
But again, January and August, we've not in many years had to do it on those months. But
so we would do calendar appointments for those, and then if we don't anticipate the need for any action at a council meeting, we would then cancel the budget committee. Okay?
Okay.
Sounds great. Good.
Okay. We'll see everybody in 2 weeks.
Great. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a good one.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Y'all.
I need some.
Thanks, Ken.
Good to see ya.
I need to reschedule my colonoscopy.
It is that day.